Appreciate the good singing, and I want to go right into the preaching this morning. Just feel led to do that. And so if you'll go with us to Luke chapter number 15, and we will have choir practice tonight, so I want to encourage you to be here for choir practice, and let's have a good crowd. Amen. I know that we always do, and I appreciate you being faithful to that. And then the service tonight at 6 o'clock, and no telling what God may do even tonight. Amen. Appreciate our young people coming up, going up yesterday, and to the Victory Baptist Church there in Dayton, the youth choir sing, and appreciate how God's using the young people. Amen. Luke chapter number 15, if you're able to stand with us this morning in reverence to the Word of God and prayer. You know, sometimes you just come to church and you just, the Lord, He just really puts it in your heart to just to preach, and you know it's the will of God. And so I know that this morning. I'm praying that God would save somebody, and that if somebody's here and you're not right with God, I pray that this morning you'd get right with the Lord. You may be saved, but backslid out of the Lord's will. I pray that you'll come this morning and do business with God. Notice with me, I want to read one verse of Scripture, and we've been preaching from Luke chapter 15 for about 6 weeks now, just as the Lord has laid these messages on our heart. And I want to read one verse of Scripture and have prayer, and then you can be seated. Notice verse number 11. And the Bible says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. Lord, I ask you this morning, if you would, to speak to our heart as you've spoke to my heart. I pray, God, that you would get the glory and honor. Help me not to say or do anything that would call any attention to myself in any way. I pray, God, that your will would be done. We ask, Lord, that sinners would be saved and that backsliders would repent. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage the hearts of those that may be discouraged and strengthen the weary. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen." You can be seated this morning. I've been preaching from Luke chapter 16 concerning the parable of the silver and the son and the sheep. And as we come to this one about the son, there's so much preaching here concerning what Jesus had to say about this certain man and his two sons. Many messages that can and will be preached out of this passage of Scripture. But when we come here to this text this morning, we notice the family once again in verse number 11. There is the father who loves, the Bible said, a certain man. And then there is these two sons. There is the first son who leaves. The Bible tells us about that in verse number 12. The younger of them said to his father, "Give me." And then the Bible says, not many days after, he took his journey into a far country. So there is the father who loves. And then there is the first son that is mentioned, which is the younger son, and he leaves. And then there is the faithful son who labors. He is the elder son that he did not leave. One stayed while the other one strayed. But yet both of them were lost. Both of them needed to be saved. As we mentioned, one boy was just as lost as the other one. One boy was lost out in the world and needed to be found. And then the other boy was lost at home and he needed to be found as well. Telling us that all of humanity is lost. Amen? You see, you might be a good sinner or you might be a bad sinner, but it doesn't really make no difference. Because either way, you are a sinner. Amen? And sinners must be saved. They must be born again. That is the message that Jesus is driving home. But as I look at verse number 11 this morning, there's really four people in this family that is mentioned here. In fact, there is another son that is mentioned in verse number 11. You say, well, now, wait a minute, preacher. The Bible says a certain man had two sons. And I understand that. But you realize the father in this picture, the certain man, is God himself. Amen. As the shepherd represents the Lord Jesus Christ as he goes after the sheep, and the woman searches for the silver representing the Holy Ghost, then the father represents our God, God our Father. As he had a lost humanity, he was willing to come and was willing to go to where Adam was and help deliver man, for God so loved the world is what the Bible says. But there is a fourth character in this story mentioned in verse 11, and it's in the first three words of verse 11. Notice the Bible says, "And he said," amen, a certain man had two sons. A certain man had two earthly sons, but there is another son that is mentioned. It is the one that is doing the speaking in verse number 11. He is not a son who strayed. He is not a lost son, but he is a loving son, amen. And I want to preach this morning on the loving Son who saves. Amen? The loving Son who saves. You see, Jesus Christ this morning, He is the Son of God. Amen? He is the only begotten Son of God. And when we think about the elder son, He was the lost son who stayed. When we think about the younger son, He is the lost son who strayed. But when we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, He is the loving Son, thank God, who saves. Amen? For He has the ability to save both of these boys. Amen? I want to say this morning, sinner, that God loves you and Jesus died for you, and they want to save you this morning. There is absolutely no reason why anybody in this building should die and go to hell this morning. You're under the sound of the gospel. God the Father wants to save you. God the Son wants to save you. And God the Holy Ghost wants to save you. And when I think about this son, this third son, this loving son who saves, I want to look at him this morning in contrast to these two other boys. For you see, Jesus was every much man, but yet He was every much God. Isn't that right? I mean, when Jesus is giving this story here, He is every bit as much of a man as the two boys that He is talking about in this story this morning. The only difference is that Jesus did not sin and Jesus could not sin. Amen? He was the Son of Man, as Luke says, but He was also the Son of God. Amen? And when we think about this deity, we think about this God-man in light of these two boys, there is a great contrast between the third son and the elder and the youngest son. For in reality, the third son is really the first son. You know that? Because before God ever created Adam, thank God Jesus already was. Amen? Jesus was there in the beginning, and He was before the beginning, and He'll be there in the end, thank God, for He is God in the flesh. Hallelujah. We think about the third son this morning, the loving son who saves. I want to think about the love of the third son this morning. You say, why is that? Because in this story, both of these boys, their love for the father, we see that it fails. I mean, the younger son comes to him in the beginning and he says to him, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall upon me. And he took everything the father gave him and he walked away from the father. Well, when you think about the elder son, he never strayed out into this world. But when you look at how he talked to his father, there's no compassion. There's no love. He is more caught up in the things that his father possesses rather than the father himself. You see, the father should have been enough for both of these boys. It shouldn't have never been about what the father had. It should have been about who the father was. Amen? And can I tell you, there's some people, when they think about God, the only thing they're interested is in what they can get. Amen? I want to tell you, if heaven didn't have walls of jasper, and if heaven didn't have gates of pearl, and if heaven didn't have mansions in a street of gold, if that's where Jesus is, then thank God that's where I want to go. Amen? Because I'm going to tell you, say, well, what do I get when I get saved? I'll tell you what you get. You get Him. Amen? And He ought to be enough. But He wasn't enough for these two boys. But thank God He was enough for the third son. Jesus loved the Father, and He loves the Father, and the Father loves Him. I want to say this morning, when you think about the love of the third son, it is a love that never falters. It is a love that never fails. It was a love that never forgets. Jesus loves His Father unconditionally, and the Father loves the Son unconditionally. And it's because of that you and I can love God too this morning. You see, Romans 5 says this, that when we were yet without strength, verse 5, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And the Bible talks about the love of God being shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. You know, you can't make people love people, can you? That's just something they have to choose. They listen. You know. You take a young man. He can do everything he wants to try to win the heart of some young lady. But if she don't love him, it doesn't matter. He can have money. He can have personality. He can have good looks. But I'm telling you, if she doesn't love him, there's not anything he can do to make her love him. She has to choose. She has to make that choice. Amen. And that's the way it is with God. This morning, God made a conscious choice to love man. Not because of him, but in spite of him. Amen. He should have sent all of us to hell when Adam sinned. But he loved us in spite of ourselves. Amen. Do you realize this morning you cannot do one thing to make God love you anymore? And you cannot do anything, not one thing, to make God love you any less. I'm glad the Bible said, he said to the nation of Israel, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And God loves every sinner this morning, regardless of your background, regardless of who you are. It doesn't matter how far down in sin you've gone. I'm glad the love of God is greater far than a tongue or pen can ever tell. It reaches higher than the brightest star, and it reaches to the lowest hell. I'm telling you this morning, God loves you, and Jesus loves you, and we that are saved, we love him because he first loved us. Amen. There is the love of the third son, and then there is the loyalty of the third son. When I think about the third son compared to these other two boys, he's always loyal to the father. I mean, when we read the story concerning the prodigal son, we see the disloyalty, how that he wasted everything the father gave him. He wasted it in righteous living. We see the disloyalty of the elder son, because what pleased the father should have been what pleased the son. Amen. Jesus said, I always do those things that please my father. You know, this elder boy, he wasn't pleased. When you think about all that his brother did, his brother didn't sin against him. His brother sinned against the father. Amen. I mean, it was the father's goods that he wasted. It was the father's heart that he broke. I'll tell you, when you read about the elder son, he was full of jealousy and anger and pride and all these other, and stubbornness, as he would not go in. He was just as lost, and he was not loyal to the father. He was more loyal to the farm. He was more loyal to the things. He was wrapped up in the blessings more than the blesser. Amen. But when I think about Jesus, he came to this earth willingly came, and he suffered, and he bled, and he died. Why did he do that? Because it was the Father's will this morning. You see, what held Jesus to the cross was not the love of God for sinners. And I do believe he loved sinners on the cross. But I'll tell you what held him to the cross was the will of the Father. He prayed that in the garden. He said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus hung on the cross because it was the will of God. You say, did he love sinners? Well, sure he loved sinners. Would he have came because he loved sinners? Yes. He came because it was also the will of God. It's what the Father willed. And Christ is loyal to the Father. He is loyal to him. And I think about Jesus Christ. He was loyal to his Father when he was at home. Amen. And he was loyal to his Father when he went out into the field. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13 concerning those parables there, the sower and the seed. He said the field is the world. Amen. And Jesus left the portals of glory. He left his home and he came down to this field to work in this world. Amen. And he was loyal to the Father. He was loyal to the field. Think about this. He was loyal to the far country, because this world compared to heaven is just a far country. It's just a wasted, barren land. Adam sinned and the curse fell upon this world, and this world represents the far country that the younger boy went out into. The only problem is the younger boy couldn't handle it. But thank God that third son, when he left his home and he came out into the field, the far country, he come to die for you and he come to die for me. And thank God he didn't waste anything that the Father gave him. He left it all, hallelujah, and he came to this old sin cursed earth. He didn't stray, amen. He couldn't stay, but he did not stray. He came to this world and he did exactly what the Father wanted him to do. He died for us. the loyalty of the third son, the love of the third son. And then what about the labor of the third son? You know, the first son, I don't know if he was lazy, but I know one thing, he despised the work of the father. The second son, the elder son, was not lazy, but he too, his heart was not in the father's work. He was in it for the wrong reasons. He was in it for self. But when we think about the labor of the third son, oh, the labor of the third son was much harder than the work of these two boys. The weight of his responsibility was much more heavier than what these boys. All these boys had to do was stay on the farm. But the third son had to leave the portals of glory. He had to come to a sin-cursed earth, and he had to bear a cross. He had to bear a cross that would have the weight of every man, woman, boy, and girl sin upon it. He would go through 3 hours of darkness when God would turn the lights out in the heavens. And during those 3 hours, he would bear the weight, the heaviness of the sin, the dregs of sin that was in that bitter cup. He would drink every drop of that cup, meaning that Jesus Christ would not only die for me and die for you, but he would die as me and he would die as you. That's what Hebrews means. The Hebrew writer meant when he said that he that knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You think about the labor of Calvary. You think about the heaviness of the cross. You think about the burden that was laid upon the back of the darling Lamb of God. Jesus bore that cross through the streets of Jerusalem and down through the Via Dolorosa up to Calvary's brow, and they laid him down, and he willingly laid his life down. Why? Because it was the work of the Father, and it was the work of the Son, and he gave his life willingly. He died as a lamb before a slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb. He opened not his mouth. Why? Because he loves us that much. Sinner, God loves you, and Jesus loved you enough to die for you. Amen. The labor. We should ever be grateful for Calvary. We should never get away from the cross. I like the songs, don't you? Years I've spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary. I like the songs, the old rugged cross, don't you? We're living in a time of evangelicalism whenever there is a watered down gospel that does not present a bloody Calvary, doesn't have repentance and very little faith, only an intellectual faith and not a faith from the heart. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, amen. But I thank God for the day that the old gospel gun was pointed in my direction as a sinner not knowing I was going to hell. But I'm glad the preacher pointed me to a bloody hillside. He pointed me to a cross. He pointed me to a man named Jesus. Amen. He preached, you must repent and you must believe the gospel. And if you'll put your faith in Jesus Christ, you can be saved. Amen. I'm telling you, as a little boy, the only thing I knew is I didn't want to go to hell. And I knew there's only one person that could get me out of the trouble I was in. My mama couldn't get me out of the trouble I was in. My daddy couldn't get me out of the trouble I was in, but they pointed me to Calvary in the best way I knew how. I walked the aisle, hallelujah, got on my knees and said, Jesus, save me, and thank God he did, hallelujah. I didn't say it in them exact words, but I tell you, I made my way to God. Sinner, that's what you got to do. You got to swallow that pride and come to this altar and ask the Lord to save you. He did all the work. You say, Brother Gravely, did you say everything right? I didn't say everything right, but he did. Yeah. Did you do everything right that day? I didn't know to do everything right. All I knew is I didn't want to go to hell. And years later, people say, well, that ain't good enough. Well, it's good enough for me, amen. And I tell you, it's good enough for him, hallelujah.
When I got up off my knees, a Sunday school teacher said, "What did he do for you?" And something on the inside said, "Telling me saved you." I said, "He saved me." Hallelujah. I tell you, I've been saved ever since. I've been on my way to heaven ever since. Oh, I didn't do it right, but thank God he did. He did it right at Calvary. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, I'm trusting. Are you trusting him? He never fails. Hallelujah. I didn't do any labor to get saved. You say, "Did you cry?" I sure did, but tears didn't save me. You can cry crocodile tears and go to hell if you don't mean it. I've seen people never shed a tear and get saved. I've seen people cry all over an altar and never come back to church again, said they got saved. You say, "What happened to them?" Well, they probably didn't get saved. It's just that simple, ain't it? You say, "Well, you don't know their heart." No, but there's no fruit, so I wouldn't want it, would you? I'm telling you this morning, Jesus paid it all. Brother Whitlow has been teaching, going from class to class downstairs, teaching about tracts, gospel tracts, the importance of handing out gospel tracts. And one of the quotes he read this morning was from Hudson Taylor, who got saved at the age of 17 in his father's office by reading a gospel tract. After getting saved, Hudson Taylor started the China Inland Mission some years later. The 12 provinces of China didn't have one gospel witness in it. And him and his wife prayed for the first year that God would give them one for each province. And God blessed and gave them two missionaries the first year for each province. At one point, the Inland Mission was so poor and so broke, they didn't have any money. And the secretary told Hudson Taylor, said, "Mr. Taylor," said, "all the mission has left is $50 in it." Taylor said, "That's not all we have. We have $50 and all the promises of God." When Taylor died in 1905, there was 867 missionaries serving in China through the China Inland Mission. You say, "What is that?" That's God. I'm telling you, we can't do anything. But God can save a 17-year-old boy, raise him up to be one of the greatest missionaries since the Apostle Paul, and set an entire country on fire for God. And when 10 years later, before communism came in 1915, there was over 970 something, if memory serves me correctly, of missionaries serving in China because one man read a gospel tract in his father's office on the finished work of Christ and got born again. I'm telling you, the power of the gospel has the power to change lives. Hallelujah. I don't know if I told this story here or where. Y'all pray for me. Amen. I used to never forget nothing. I didn't forget it. I just don't know where I told it. If I told it, y'all just act like you never heard it, okay? Don't come up and say, "Brother Gravel, you told me that 3 weeks ago." Well, I'm just checking to see if you're really listening. And I heard a preacher preaching, a good, great man of God preaching. Did I tell this story about this man sitting on the bench and him giving him a gospel tract? Anybody heard that? All right, I must have not told you. You know, I wouldn't act like this in another church, but you're family, so I'm just going to be myself. But he said he was headed to the hospital on a busy day and said there was a man sitting on a bench right there waiting for a bus, and as he was headed there, he was real busy. The Holy Spirit said, "Get out and give that man a gospel tract and witness to him." He said, "Lord," he said, I've got all these things you want me to do and I'm so busy today." He said, "I don't think I have time to do that." And the Lord said, "Do that." And then he came up with this excuse. He said, "Lord, there's no places to park and it's in a busy street and all the parking places are taken." He said, "About that time a car backed out right in front of that bench." So he said he pulled in there and he said he pulled a track out. And he said, "I had every intention of just running up, giving this man a gospel track. I was in such a hurry, give it to him really quick and give him a quick presentation of the gospel and get on about my business." He says, "I approached the man." He said he was an Englishman. He said he had the accent. He said you could tell he was not from our country. He said, "Sir," he said, "I want to give you this piece of paper." He said, "If you died today, would you?" He said, "Do you know if you go to heaven?" He said, "No, I do not." He said he began to just quote a verse or two of scripture, and he said he was just trying to hurry through the gospel. And he said, I was just talking pretty fast and giving some verses and saying some things to him as quick as I could. He said the man was just looking at me, staring at me, listening very intently to him. He said about that time the bus pulls up, and he said, sir, he said, just read the rest of this. Read the back of this track. He said, it's basically everything that I would have told you. And if you'll ask the Lord to save you, he'll save you. He said, the man, he said, when I went to hand him the track, said he reached up and he got a hold of my hand in the track with this hand, and he put his hand over the top of my hand. And he said, no, he said, in that English accent, he said, I want you to tell me. He said, I can get another bus. He said, he thought to himself, if this man is that interested in hearing the gospel? He said, I'm going to sit down and take time. He said, I took my jacket off. I sat down. He said, by this time, I just began to preach to him and give him the gospel. He said, that man sat there and listened to me and said, when I gave him the gospel, and I said to him, I said, sir, right here, right now, would you like to ask Jesus to be your Savior? He said, in that English accent, he said, I believe I would. Amen. He said, he bowed his head, and he asked the Lord to save him. And said, when he got through, after he prayed, he said he looked at the preacher and he said, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever experienced. And he said, as an American, he said, I never really thought about putting it that way, but he said it was a beautiful thing. He said, I feel so much peace inside. He said, well, sir, he said, I'm glad you got saved. He said to me, he said, you know, God is real, isn't he? He said, yes, he's real. He said, you know, just before you come up here, he said, I was sitting here. He said, I was raised in London. He said, I've only been here 10 weeks. And he said, I was raised a Muslim all my life. He said, I was sitting here on this bench, and he said, I looked up into the sky, and he said, I said to Allah, I said, Allah, I don't believe in you anymore. He said, Allah, you're cruel. He said, I said a little prayer. I said, if there is a God anywhere in this universe, anywhere, would you reveal yourself to me right now? And he said, and you walked up to me and gave me this piece of paper. I want to tell you, the work has already been done. He will do the work for us if we will go in his name. The power of that printed page, giving those tracts out, you don't know what God's doing on the other end. You don't know how God is putting things there. The labor has already been done. Jesus paid the price. Salvation is free. It won't cost you anything to get saved. I'm telling you, sinner, if you go to hell, it's by choice this morning. It's not because you have to. All you have to do is come by way of the cross this morning and say, Lord, I want to go to heaven. And I'm telling you, he's in the saving business this morning. I think about the labor of the third son. I think about the life of the third son. These boys, one boy was declared dead at one point. He was dead and now he's alive again. The other boy, we don't know if he ever came alive spiritually. He was dead in his sin. But the third son, he lived a sinless life, a sacrificial life, a submissive life, and I would say a spectacular life. Nobody ever lived like Jesus lived. I'm telling you, if you get saved, as the old songwriter said, you've just begun to live. Amen. Brother, I'm telling you, if you're lost this morning, you don't know what you're missing. Amen. If you're lost, you know why you don't enjoy church? Because you're lost. Yeah. You get saved, you'll love the house of God. You get saved, you'll love the singing. I remember one time as a young boy before I got saved, I remember sitting in church. I remember this thought crossing my mind as just a little boy. The thought crossed my mind. I thought, why is it that they want to come every single week and sing the same songs? Why is that? I wondered that. They would come by week after week and say, you're coming in the morning? I said, sure, I'm coming. We're going to have food. I'm coming. They'd have something different on that bus every week. They'd have Debbie's and sometimes, and then they'd feed you. Sometimes they'd feed us breakfast. I love to go to church because I ate free meals at school and then I ate free meal on Sunday at church. And I'd sit there and I thought, why them people? They just love to sing them songs. But I tell you, after I got saved, I don't go to church because of food anymore. I do, but it's spiritual food. And them songs,
I tell you what I was missing. They weren't real to me. But when I got saved, they became real. They become real down in your soul. That couple that got saved, Brother Daniel and them brought, and Lord willing, they'll be here tonight. Their little baby, they come up last Sunday, they said, can we get baptized, join the church, and have our baby dedicated? They were living together. They wasn't married. And I said, well, I want you to. I said, I'm excited about all three of those things. I said, now let me, I need to talk to you about something next. Let's talk. I need to talk to you tonight or sometime. She said, I already know what you want to talk about. It made it so easy for me. She said, we wasn't married. She said, guess what? She said, we got that fixed. I'm telling you, that was a blessing. I said, you did? I said, we went to the courthouse and got married. You know what? I didn't have to. I was going to talk to him, and I think it would have worked out okay. But you know what? That's what God does for you. He got saved, and the Holy Ghost living on the inside speaks to you. Y'all believe that this morning? He'll talk to you. I'm telling you, he'll tell you he loves you. He'll tell you, he'll send a song across your heart sometimes. And I'll tell you, when you do wrong or you think about doing wrong, he'll say, don't do that. And he'll convict you. And you know what that means? That means he loves you. Amen. I'm telling you, they got right with God. And before anybody could say anything, the liver on the inside said, you want to take care of this. You want to make this right. I mean, when you make things right with God, you want to make things right in every other direction. Amen. Some of you clammed up when I said that, maybe because you got some things in your life you need to make right with God. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, when you get born again, it will make a difference in your life. Hallelujah. And they was just as happy down here talking. You could see the joy on their face. That's what Jesus will do for you. The lesson of the third son. Here's the lesson, and I close. What kind of a lesson do we learn from the one who gave us this parable? Here's the lesson. Number one, listen to the Father. You know what happened to these two boys? They never listened to their father till the one got in trouble. Listen, Jesus listens to his father. Love the father and live for the father. As I mentioned, the third son was actually the first son. He's the only begotten son of God. And Jesus left his home not to go out and squander his life in worldly living like the younger son. But he left his home on high, as the songwriter said. He came to earth and he died so that you and I could have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. You know, if I was here this morning and I was lost, I'd get saved. It's just that simple. I wouldn't put off getting saved another Sunday. Amen. Why worry? Why live in misery when you can be born again? Said, Brother Gravely, I don't want to lay in bed at night and worry about going to hell. Then come and get saved. Amen. Right. Nobody can do this for you. You have to do it yourself. Your preacher can't come for you. Your mom and dad can't come for you. Your best friend can't come for you. If you know this morning that you're lost, if you want to go to heaven, you're going to have to come. And you're going to have to bow your head and bend your knee and ask the Lord to be your Savior. That's how you can get saved. I really believe this morning that God in tender mercy is here and He'll save any soul that'll come. But it's a different day. It's a different day. There was a time when you could preach like this, and I'm telling you, people would hit the altar. I mean, they'd be 3 and 4 people, 5 and maybe 10 get saved. But we're living in the last days, aren't we? I tell you, God's still saving old sinners. And if you know you're lost and you know you're a sinner, you say, Brother Gravely, you keep saying it on purpose. I'm saying it on purpose this morning over and over again so that you'll get it, sinner. If you know you're lost and you know that you need to be saved, would you come accept Jesus this morning? Would you come and bow before Him and say, Lord, would you come into my heart and be my Savior? Would you save me from a devil's hell? Would you rescue me this morning? I trust you. Would you trust Christ to be your Savior this morning? If you'll trust Him, if you'll come, He'll save you. Let's